as far as the bulletin goes, I remind you of the All Souls Day envelopes, which are available in the rear of the church. I also remind you that October is the month of the Holy Rosary, and please try to say the rosary every day, especially during this month of October. There are other items, of course, in the bulletin to which I draw your attention. And as I always do, I encourage you not just to read the bulletin, but to study the bulletin. There is a message in these bulletins, and a very serious one. And I encourage you to study what it has to say, because particularly in these days and times in which we are particularly given to the spirit of materialism, the spiritual life is absolutely out of the question. Therefore, we have to find out what the spiritual life is and what it's all about. And we have to find out about it correctly. During these weeks presently, right now, we are simply quoting straight away from a tiny little book called The Spiritual Combat. We told you about it somewhat last week. The Spiritual Combat is one of the greatest books ever written concerning the spiritual life. And it shores up what we have been talking about. It was written about 400 years ago. It was translated during this past century in the early part of the 1900s. And I certainly encourage you to see how strict they interpreted things, or how strictly they interpret things in days past. We complain sometimes that things that are being presented to us might be a bit too strict. Not at all. At least they're strict in the right way. It's not in the bulletin, but I do wish to point out something. Not that I'm trying, or we're trying to turn our church into some kind of a museum or art gallery or whatever, but we do try to use our church in such a way that it is instructive to those who come here regularly and to those who come here for visits. In the vestibule of the church, we just put it out yesterday, here some time ago, we ran into a couple of old pictures, and we thought we would do something about these old pictures. And they are now hanging in the vestibule of the church. And look at what you see in those pictures. Look at all of the priests and all of the sisters that once upon a time could gather together. Sisters of every color, shape, description, dimension that you can think of are all in that. Hundreds of them. And priests likewise. Should I be so bold, which I'm not, as to get a picture of a convention of sisters and priests today and tack it under that picture, could anybody in his right mind say nothing has changed? It's worth looking at. We're going to leave it there. So when you have visitors coming, you can say, this is the way it used to be. And this is what we're still sticking on to, and nobody can take it away from us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. Master, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, and with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. For the past many weeks, months actually, we have been spending time on the interior life. And we're trying to find out just what is this that we call the interior life. Today, as I said a moment ago, today we are so completely taken up with materialism and material things, and more things, that we see that we have come to place our emphasis on things, and that importance is in money, is in property, is in things. And we have little or no time whatsoever to spend thinking on where it all really exists. And as we look at each other, all we see is, again, things, actually. But it is the spirit that we have to be concerned about. As we have said in here more than once, and pretty soon we'll be coming to November, the month of the poor souls, what we see in each other is going to be put in a box in due time and will be hoisted off as quickly as possible and is returned to the earth from whence it all came. Now there are those who maintain that this is the end of it all. Well, all we can say to them is they'll find out. We're interested only in being Catholic. We're interested in doing only what is correctly Catholic. We criticize the world and call it un-Catholic or non-Catholic, or whatever you want to call it, when we see the laxity that exists in the people of the streets of the world. And we are correct when we call it un-Catholic, un-Christian, uncorrect or incorrect. We are quite right in saying that the laxity that exists outside is wrong. And we try to compensate. And we go from laxity to over strictness, and that is equally un-Catholic and wrong. And this is beginning to make its ugly appearance in so many of our so-called traditional centers. A strictness which is simply incorrect, a strictness which is simply private interpretation. It is uninstructed and it is wrong. And it is distorting the minds of our little children. Now this morning we read, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart. This is Jesus Christ speaking. And please pay attention to the vocabulary of Jesus Christ. Jesus' vocabulary was very pointed, very accurate, and very correct. And the meaning in his word was indeed very, very much to the point. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart and with thy whole soul and with thy whole mind, our heart, our soul, our mind. To be taken, of course, with our entire being. And so we read that, and we hear it read unto us. What does that mean? What does that mean? With my whole mind and heart and soul. It means exactly that. Doesn't it? And as we ponder on those words, if we're not careful, and if we have poor guides, this can be twisted into such a way that our whole Catholic existence becomes distorted. Of course, we have to love God with our whole minds, hearts, and souls. Of course. In today's bulletin, we go back to St. Teresa of Avila. And we all know about St. Teresa of Avila, don't we? And when we read this and we read St. Teresa, we find it difficult to bring the two together. And we come to the wrong conclusion. And this, my dear people, there are those that are helping us come to these wrong conclusions. That we have to put everything aside. Everything. And spend our entire lives on our knees. Have I not, or have we, excuse me when I say I guess it's the selfishness that's in me that manifests itself. When we bring to your attention the house of Nazareth and the occupants of the house of Nazareth, can we find anybody ever that have loved God more than these three individuals? As a matter of fact, one of the three individuals was God himself, Jesus, in the second person of the Blessed Trinity, wasn't he? But let us then think of the other two, Mary and Joseph. right there, carrying him in their arms. Has there been anybody ever that can be said to have loved him, God, more? And yet, if we dare walk into the house of Nazareth, for too many of us it's too much. Do we find anything about Joseph and Mary that stands out, as we say today, like a sore thumb? They were very ordinary people. And they did ordinary things in ordinarily, extraordinarily ways. They didn't stand out. And yet they loved with all their minds and all their hearts and all their souls. Can you imagine the house of Mary in Nazareth? Dirty, uncared for, untidy. You see, the thing that we have to learn is how to make prayer life and work life come together and be prayer life. Or rather, I said that somewhat inaccurately. I should have said prayers life. On our knees, reciting prayers and more prayers and more prayers, as opposed to work, washing dishes, scrubbing floors, cleaning house, dusting the window, washing the windows, whatever. The spirituality of work is what we don't understand. And we don't understand that in this there is prayer, that this is prayer. The monks that you see, they are up in the morning quite early. We are up quite early. We do our prayers, say our prayers. We say our masses. Then we go to work. Did the monks stop praying when they closed the prayer books and picked up the hammer and started nailing nails in the wall? Did they stop praying at that moment? Did they stop praying when they started cleaning out the chicken coop? Or mowing the lawns, or whatever? No, indeed. Even cleaning out the chicken coop, his prayer for him who loves. That's the important word. Thou shalt love. The problem today is, for many, is that we've forgotten how to love. We are ashamed to say that we love. It isn't that we go out anymore and try to convert the world anymore. It's in the little tiny things that we do wherein consists the quality of our love. It isn't in the strictness, as I said a moment ago, bringing about a strictness into our way of living is not the answer. It is the wrong answer. What good does it do to be strict, crossing your T's and dotting your I's and putting question marks where they belong and never making a mistake? If our predominant fault, which we have been talking about over the past several weeks, as we were thrown out of the Garden of Eden, if our predominant fault, whatever it may be, is still within our hearts, we cannot, we must not be so foolish as to think that when we say we love God with all of our minds and all of our souls and all of our hearts, we must not be so foolish as to think that the tiniest fragment of self-love, of pride, of self-opinion, or lust, or gluttony, or whatever else you wish to mention, as long as any of that is still in that heart, or that mind, or that soul, as long as that is there, let us not fool ourselves or anybody else and say, I do love you, Lord, with all of my heart. Not so. But look at what I am doing. Look at what you saw. You see, we sometimes forget the effect that we are our temperament or our inclinations and our peculiarities. We seem to forget the effect that these have on those that are around us. We must love thy neighbor as thyself. As long as what I do as long as what I think has any kind of a detrimental effect on somebody around me, my beloved people, that is what we should bring into the confessional box and say, I have caused others around me to suffer unduly. And that my vanity has held others in ridicule. And that my pride and self-righteousness has caused others to feel inferior. That's what we must bring to the confessional. That's what we must bring to the confessional. Do we? Do we bring to others the effect that my anger and my temper, do we bring that to the confessional as the effect that my anger and my temperament has on those who have to live with me? These are the things that we have to work on. And when we speak of the conversio, which we speak of so often, that's where conversio exists. Have I turned from my fits of anger? Or have I turned into simply bottling my fits of anger inside of myself and my mind explodes with thoughts of criticism, of debasement, or whatever? You know, a lot happens in our minds, my dear people, that we do not think much about. What is going on in my mind about so-and-so? And when I walk up to so-and-so and give so-and-so the best of greetings, while in my heart I am shooting at him with poisonous daggers. It begins in the heart. That's why Saint Benedict starts off with this rule: listen with the ears of your hearts. That's where it has to begin. And as we move about from one to the other, what is going on in our heart? And now, you see, we think we are compensating. This is the mistake. We think we are compensating for these things. We know this is going on in our heads. We know that. It doesn't take a Philadelphia lawyer to bring that out into the open. I know what's going on in my head. I know it better than anybody else. What's going on in my head? And I don't like what I'm seeing. And so I come to say, well, now let me see. I have to do something about this. So I fall on my knees, out comes my rosary, out comes my prayer book with 70-11 prayers that I'm saying, you know, and I think I've compensated for these ugly thoughts that I've had. No! 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 What must I do? Which is the great commandment? Christ didn't say to get on your knees and say a bunch of prayers. But that's what we are being taught to do. Aren't we in certain areas to compensate for the laxity that we see around us? For the road rage and for the way our kids are coming up and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. My dear people, what are we giving our children? What kind of example are we giving our children? Our children today, I think it would be safe to say, are the smartest generation of kids ever to have walked the face of this earth so far. By the time they're 3 years old, they are already masters of whatever it is. And they can see through. A child is quick to see through a facade. And our facade of holiness, our facade of kneeling down, praying much, making visits, doing this, doing that, doing the other thing that has all the impact of this is prayer life. Our kids can see through that. The saying of all the prayers is unimportant. The important thing is, what is the quality of my conduct elsewhere? And is this conduct of mine being determined by a type of extraneous activity which is insincere, which is artificial, which is manufactured, which is put on, and all that? Or is my, have you not ever met a person who, when he walks up to you, doesn't have to say a word, and doesn't say a word? He just looks at you and you feel good all over. And you know you are in the presence of serenity and sincerity and peace. The man might even be dressed in tramp's clothes. What difference does it make? And also, have you ever been in the presence of one who is dressed like a king or a queen? And when he or she looks at you, your eyes automatically turn away. Have you not ever experienced that? We cannot hide what's in our hearts. It's impossible. A brick wall 20 feet thick cannot hide what's in our hearts, no matter how hard we try. If it's good, good will come out. If it's bad, bad will come out. And so what we're trying to do in this little church of ours, not that this is the only place, no. Don't get that foolish idea that this, if you don't come here, you're going to hell. There are those that are saying that. You know, what we're saying is, my dear people, let us learn what it means to be acceptable to Almighty God. That's all. And not only learn what is acceptable to Almighty God, but to do it year in and year out, in season and out of season. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart and with thy whole soul and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like it. thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. My beloved people.